if you're around people that are trying to convince you that there was no resurrection, we know that the resurrection was important. The resurrection was key. The resurrection was to the point that, hey, Christ rose from the dead, and if Christ hadn't risen from the dead, then our faith is in vain. And if you sit there and listen to it, and you're around people that have evil communications, it's going to affect you. It's going to cause you to have bad manners. It's going to cause you to become corrupt. Deceive yourself when you think that you can be around those and be close personal friends to those, the people who hate the Lord and despise the things of God and think it does not affect you. And I know we got to be careful. We got to be careful for our relationships. We got to be careful because we want to win the lost. We want to reach lost. We want to win those that are atheists. We want to win those that are agnostics. We want to win those that are parts of false religions. But what I'm saying is, what Paul is saying, look, don't be deceived in thinking that you can be around the world and that you won't be influenced by the world. Be careful who your close friends are. Be careful of those that you listen to and allow to take in and be a part of your life and grow to be part of your life, because the Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. How many of us have seen that happen when someone falls in the wrong crowd? I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen with young and old alike. Some people will convince us, hey, look, I can be an influence to them. I can win into Christ. I don't know how many times we've heard stories about a young lady who falls in love with a young man thinking that they could win them to Christ or they're going to influence them closer to God, but instead that young man draws them farther away. Or a young man that falls in love with a young lady and he says, look, I can win them to Christ. I can bring them to Christ. That's just not the way it works. Most of the time it draws them away. And the same thing with, it says, this is not just for someone who's looking at dating. This is the same thing with the people that we have our close communication with and our close friendships with and those that we count close. I know we have families, and obviously we're not going to turn our back on our family, but don't be deceived. Don't think that we can just continue on being a part of it and listening to it and listening to it and listening to it and not affect us and not hurt us. Be careful. Remember, the devil is trying to deceive you. The devil is coming to you and say, yea, hath God said. The devil is coming to you saying, God, what God said is not true. You can do that. You can handle that. We've heard people say, well, they're not going to hurt me. They're not going to bother me. They're not going to influence me. Watching that, listening to that, being a part of that, it's not going to change me. But then we see later on, missing work, missing church, it's not going to hurt me and it's not going to change me. And we listen to what the world has to say and it begins to influence our hearts. And that's why Paul is saying here, don't listen to them. Don't even put up with it. Don't be deceived by it. Remember, what goes into our heart and our minds, the devil uses to try to manipulate us and tries to deceive us into believing a lie. He could look at Eve, who had lived in the perfect world with the perfect husband, with the perfect atmosphere, and got to walk with God daily, and say, you know what? God's lying to you. And she believed it. So let's look at the next one. We deceive ourselves when we think too highly of ourselves. Go ahead to Galatians chapter number 6. We deceive ourselves when we think too highly of ourselves. With the young adult class, we've been going through the discipleship course so that way they can, at some point in time, maybe teach others also. And when we were going through it, one of the devotions or one of the study time, talking about relationships in the church and talking about the restorations of restoring relationships, reconciling relationships. And this verse kind of stuck out to me as which would begin the study for tonight's message, is our relationships are so important. Our church relationships are so important. Yeah, the church is bigger and part of something that is bigger than us and bigger than our own likes and interests. We're supposed to work together for the cause of Christ. We're supposed to be working together to see people saved, baptized, and discipled. And so many times people allow petty things to break their relationships and they don't fellowship one another and they can't work together for the cause of Christ. And they're deceived into thinking, hey, I'm okay with that. They're the ones that are wrong. But look what the Bible says. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. And it's amazing what some people think is spiritual and what other people think is spiritual. Don't be deceived on that, what the scripture has to say. But look what it continues on. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. And what's the purpose of this when someone's overtaken a fault? Considering thyself. You know, when you consider yourself when you're doing this, because it's only by the grace of God you're not in that circumstance. lest thou also be tempted. Tempted to do what? Tempted to think too highly of yourself. Tempted to think that you're better than someone else. Tempted to be overtaken in a pride and the relationships are not going to be reconciled. Then he says in verse number 2, bear ye one another's burdens. And it's talking about compassion and caring and helping each other's load. And so fulfill ye the law of Christ. Then it says in verse number 3, for if man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. And then that scripture there gets kind of stuck out to me. When one takes a very fond opinion of his own self-sufficiency, instead of finding his sufficiency in Christ, when one person thinks of himself to be something, someone who thinks that maybe he's wiser and that he's better than someone else, the Bible is saying here that he's deceiving himself. Why is that? Because we're all dust. We are all made by the same dust of the earth. It's all God in us. Anything that's good about us, anything that we can do for him is because he has empowered us and he has made us able. And he's saying, when you consider all these people that are overtaken in a fault and bearing another person's burden, you need to consider yourself, you need to look at yourself, you need to help bear the burdens, because then you're fulfilling the law of Christ. Then you're doing the things that God had wanted you to do and desired for you to do. But when you go and you look at other people and you look down upon them and says, that's their own fault, that's their own problem, I'm not going to help that individual, I'm not going to reach out to that individual, I'm not going to care because they're below me, there's a problem. And they're deceiving themselves into believing a lie that they're too good to do something that Jesus Christ died for. They're too good to do something that Christ reached out to those that were sinners and those that were wicked. Remember they mocked Christ and they said he ate with sinners. Remember, they said if he knew who that woman was, he wouldn't let her touch him. If he knew this about it, he knew all that, and he still cared about it. Why is that? Because he didn't think he was too good. And many times, pride is something that will cause us to deceive ourselves into believing a lie. And as we believe this lie, God resists the proud. Bible says, but God giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Christian tonight, I want you to understand, the Bible is saying a few things to you here tonight. It's saying to you, yes, the devil is going to deceive you. The man can try to deceive you. Even strong drink and wine, anyone that's fooled thereby, they're fooled. They're deceived by it. And there's a long list of things that are outwardly things that can try to deceive you and try to persuade your heart and beguile you. But he says, take a long look inside. Make sure that you realize that you don't think too highly of yourself. Make sure you don't think, hey, I'm good and I'm not going to be a person that would do that. Because of what scripture is saying here is, if he thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceived himself. Let's keep on going. Just later on in this chapter, something also that says, be not deceived, something you will all be familiar with, is we deceive ourselves when we think we will reap something we have not sown. When we will reap something we have not sown. Look in verse number 6 in the same chapter. It says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Verse 7, be not deceived. Once again, it says, don't let the devil fool you here. God is not mocked. God will not be mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. So what the scripture is saying here is, look, don't be deceived. Don't think that you're going to do something and you're going to live some certain way and then expect God to let you reap a different benefit. And I like this, because this is kind of like a litmus test for us also. Albert Einstein is the one that's credited for saying this, but they don't know if he really said it or not. He says the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting different results. And you think about it, over and over we do the same things, but we expect different results. Sometimes we will neglect our Bible reading over and over and over, but we want to be scholars of the Bible. Sometimes we want to memorize scripture so we can hide God's word in our heart that we won't sin against them, but we never memorize. Sometimes we say, hey, I want to be a prayer warrior, and I determined to get up earlier every day so I can spend some time with God, but I never sow that. I never spend more time in prayer. I never spend more time on my knees. I never spend more time alone with God. It's just not going to, you're not going to reap that. You're not going to reap those results until you sow those seeds of, you say, well, I like to win one person to Christ this week. Guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to go out and sow. You're going to have to go out and witness. Yes, the Lord could bring somebody in your life, could bring someone to your pathway right in front of you, and you have a witnessing experience, and you get will lead somebody to Christ, then praise the Lord. But that's not how it normally happens, is when someone is out there and they're giving out the gospel. You're not going to win someone to Christ if you don't know how to lead someone to Christ. You're not going to win to someone to Christ if you're not talking to someone about Jesus Christ. You're not going to be a better husband or be a better wife if you're not doing the things in scriptures. You say, hey, I want to be a better father. Well, then let's learn what the Bible says about being a father and begin sowing to a spot that God will help you reap that better family. God will help you reap that better fatherhood. I want to be a better Christian, then we need to do the things that God tells us to do. And that's what the Bible is saying here, is be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. What are you sowing today? What is it that we're putting your seeds out to? Because so many times it talks about how we come to church on Sunday, but on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we're sowing seeds of discontent or sowing seeds of pleasure or sowing seeds. And then we come to Sunday, we ask God for a whole different harvest. We don't want the harvest of the discontent. We don't want the harvest of covetousness. We don't want the harvest of anger. We don't want this, all these things. But all throughout the week, we're sowing those things. And when we come to church on Sunday and say, God, make me a spiritual blessing to somebody. How's that going to happen when all throughout the week you're not living for him? When all throughout the week we're not sowing to that path, but instead we're planting seeds, and we're planting seeds that says tomato seeds, and then later on we're hoping that it's going to turn out to be a cucumber. It doesn't work that way. That's ridiculous. It's that's why he says, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived that you're planting seeds of discord and expect to have good relationships. Don't be deceived that you're planting seeds of not caring about your Bible reading and spending more time with the things of this world than the Bible and then turning out a Bible scholar. It just doesn't happen. You don't plant a watermelon seed and get a pumpkin. He says, don't be deceived in that way. Let's go to one more. We deceive ourselves when we say we have no sin. Go ahead and take your Bible to 1 John 1:8. 1 John 1:8. First John 1:8, and this is another one that says, look, we're deceiving ourselves, deceiving yourself, deceiving, be not deceived. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Pretty simple there. And I know it's talking here about if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. The verse number 7, for if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. This gets to a spot where we believe that we have no sin. And there are certain people that believe you can reach some type of pinnacle where you're not ever going to sin again, but I don't think that's found in Scripture. The scripture teaches us that we deal with the flesh, and yes, we can live a holy life, but if we confess our sins, he's going to be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all our sins. But we got to get to the point where we're deceiving ourselves when we say we do nothing wrong. I think in our scripture times it's important to go and say, God, search me, see if there be any wicked way in me. I think it's important that we learn that I am not high and mighty, that I have not arrived, that I want to continue on learning and growing. Even the Apostle Paul talked about he had not apprehended. He continued to push for the mark. He continued to pursue for the holiness and the perfection, but he knew he was never going to reach it till the day he saw Jesus Christ. And we deceive ourselves into thinking that we have no sin, we have no problems, and we can no longer grow as a Christian. Who would think that one? Someone who's deceived. Someone who thinks that, yes, everyone else in this church needs to work on many things, but I don't need to work on anything. James 4:17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so often when we preach and we teach, we turn around and we look at people and say, man, that was good for this person, that was good for this person, that person needs to hear that, that person's been deceived into believing corrupt communications, you know, it really won't hurt them. That person is believed in thinking that they keep on sowing and sowing and sowing a certain thing, but they think something else is going to happen. No, the point is for us to look deep inside and say, is this something in my own heart? Is this something in my own life? Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you know that there's something you should be doing and you're not doing, whether it be faithfulness, soul winning, loving your wife, submitting to your husband, obeying your parents, a long list of things that God gives us in his word, and we're not doing it, it's sin. It's something we need to work on. So tonight, is there something you're deceiving yourself about? In the scriptures, I began to start a study for deceive and deceitfulness and deceiver. Man, that list is long. You can go and look at it and you just study out the word and you understand what the scriptures say about it. And you could spend a long time looking into it. But the thing that spoke to my heart was there's things that our own heart deceives us about. It's deceitful above all things. And I don't know how many times here recently I heard somebody said, I'm following my heart. I'm doing what I think is right. It says, you shouldn't do what you think is right. You should do what God wants you to do with your life because your heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. And who can know it? Only God can. One last thought here, and I just want to throw this out there. And I know it's Sunday night, and I know people here, but probably most people here say, I'm a Christian and I'm on my way to heaven. But one of the things the devil loves to deceive people into believing is that, number one, they don't have to worry about salvation, that everybody goes to heaven. You know what? It's not a problem. You're in church. That's going to get you to heaven. Another thing the devil loves to deceive someone into believing is that just because you know who God is, that you're going to go to heaven. It's just not true. The Bible says in the Word of God, it says that we must not just know him, but we must believe on him. We must not only believe in our heart, but we must confess with our mouths. And many times a person can live in a church and sit in a church year after year after year after year and never truly have saw themselves as a sinner in need of a Savior and cried out to God and said, God, please save me from my sins. I see my sins. I know what my sins are doing to me, and I need a Savior. I see what Jesus Christ did on that cross, and I believe that he died on that cross and that he was buried in that tomb and he rose again. And I see what my sin has done. My sin has separated me from you. And I'm calling out to God to save me from my sins. Number, you have that testimony here tonight that you sat in church for many years, never truly understanding, never truly calling out to Christ to save you. And it's not just about words that you say. It's about putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Don't let the devil deceive you with that. He is very good at deceiving people with things. Devil is very good at being deceitful. He took Eve and he convinced Eve, he beguiled Eve, he deceived Eve. And there's many people in the Bible he deceived into doing something that was wrong. And Christian tonight, even your own heart can be deceived. Don't think that hearing the word of God is enough. We must obey it. Don't think that religion is more important than relationships, that the outside is more important than the inward. Don't think that evil communications will not corrupt you. Don't think you can continue on being around that bad crowd and that bad crowd and bad crowd and think it's not going to influence you. Psalms 1:1 talks about that. Blessed is the man that does what? That walketh not and sitteth not and standeth not. But don't deceive yourselves into believing that you're too high or too good. Thinking too highly of yourselves. Don't deceive yourselves into thinking that you're going to reap something different than what you've been sowing. And don't deceive yourselves into thinking that you have no sin. Make sure that you're, first of all, that you know you're on your way to heaven. And we can show you from the Bible how the Bible says you can be saved on your way to heaven based off what Scripture says. But besides that, make sure that you are being genuine and honest with yourself. Here's the thing. When I preach and teach, and my desire is that God would use it to help you, but I want everyone to be upfront and honest. I just wanted to get out there and say, look, what you're doing is wrong. That's up to you whether you're going to repent of it and get it right. It's up to you whether or not you're going to change. But I hate to see someone deceive themselves. I hate to see someone buying into a lie. I hate to see someone saying, oh, this is truth when it's not truth. You should be able to hear the truth when you come to the church. You should be able to hear the truth when the Bible is open and preached. Truth is what we're looking. How you respond to it's your choice. But I don't want people to be deceived into believing. Hey, just coming to church is enough. Hey, as long as I look right on the outside, it's enough. Hey, as long as if I'm a good enough person, it's enough. As long as I, no. The Bible says that we can deceive our own selves. Let's look tonight for a few moments and ask ourselves, is there something that I've been deceiving myself about? And if so, confess that before God, get it right, and then begin to sow seeds that will reap a harvest that will be something that will be fruit and fruit that will remain. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.